28th of 2007. This is my home group right here. I have a sponsor, and I've had the privilege of sponsoring other people. Before I get going with anything, I'd really just like to talk about how grateful I am to be here today. I was thinking earlier today, I was on my way to my sister's house for Thanksgiving. And like 3 years ago from today's date, I was just trying to get a meal somewhere because I hadn't eaten in like 4 days. And it was at this girl's house. I was trying to get to stick around for just a little bit longer. And just, you know, I couldn't get anywhere in life. And I was thinking earlier today, like I'm surrounded by people today. They're like, I have wonderful relationships with. And I really don't know any like words to describe like how grateful I am for that and how that makes me feel on the inside. But today specifically is really special for me, you know, for the obvious reason of being Thanksgiving. But, you know, also, like I said, it's just kind of cool and how short of a time things have like 180, you know. And but, you know, with that, I'm going to try and be kind of quick, I guess. I came up in Southern California, just north of Los Angeles, on the other side of the mountains. My parents are still married today. I just got a real normal family, nothing too crazy or anything. I do remember, like, for sure, when I was a little kid, I just used to eat bugs and light fires, and I was always getting into trouble at school, you know, and not like big trouble, like, you know, beating kids up or anything like that trouble, but just like the weird kind of trouble, you know. I mean, I like on the report card that I would get all the time, like my teachers would always like snitch on me. I'd have to go get like my report card signed by my parents and bring it back, and it always said like, Ryan's a real smart kid, but if he could just focus, you know, like if he could just kind of, if he could get it right, you know, things would be okay for him, but, you know, he needs to work on some of that stuff. But, you know, like I said, just kind of a weird kid growing up, you know what I mean? And I really don't know what it was. You know, it's probably a lot of self-centeredness. You know, a lot of times I feel like I'm different than you for no reason at all. You know, I'll look at the way that you're acting or the way that you're dressing and feel like I'm different on the inside, you know, for no apparent reason. But came to Florida when I was like 12, and you know, really just kind of, you're not too much different, you know. I found a lot of reasons where, like, now all of a sudden it was okay for me to be different, you know, because I was different from everybody here. And like, I just hated my parents for moving me here, because it was like, I felt like as soon as I was starting to get a lot of friends back home, like, we just picked up and moved. So for like a long time, I would just like come home from school crying, and like, you know, I'd be getting in trouble somewhere, and my parents asked me what's wrong, and I'd be like, God, if you guys could just, why did you move me here, you know, like I'd just hang it over their heads for a real long time. But, you know, the truth of it is, I just needed a drink, you know, like, I needed a drink for a real long time before I got to take one. And when I was 15, I got to find the luxury of alcohol. And so what happened was, there's me and three of my friends, and we'd gotten together on a Friday night. We got together with a bottle of whiskey, and you know, like, at this point, like I said, I've always felt different. And at the time, I was 15, and I was 5'4", so I was like maybe this tall, and I was 180 pounds, so I was fat, and my voice still hadn't changed. Like, I had a high pitched voice, and I was short and fat, you know. And so, like, I definitely felt different from the people I was hanging around with. And I remember just thinking, like, I was sitting in this guy's kitchen, and we had these shot glasses lined up for each of us, and we poured out these shots, and I'm sitting here looking at this little shot of whiskey. And, like, I remember I used to watch my parents drink, and like, they'd have fun, and just everything was kind of okay, you know. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, like, man, this is going to be it, you know, like this is going to be the defining moment in my life, and everything is going to be okay after this. And so I remember, and I used to see on TV, like, people would take shots and like slam the glass down, and everyone was real cool, you know. So that's what I wanted to try and do, and because I was kind of anything but those things, you know. So I remember I took this shot and it hit the back of my throat, and it started to go down, and it burned, you know. But for the first time that I can at least remember, it may have happened before this, but for the first time I remember, I just, like, I could breathe, you know what I mean? Just, like, my shoulders fell down a little bit, you know, my face got a little red, I could just breathe a little easier, you know? And it wasn't that, like, I got taller, skinnier, and my voice dropped. It was just that I didn't care what was happening, you know? And, you know, almost to say, like, I mean, obviously I was the same person in the same room, the same circumstances, but, like, the person, or whatever it is that's up here, saw all you guys different, you know? And that's really, I mean, that's the best explanation I come up with, was just that, like, the window that I was looking out of got a little bit cleaner, you know? Like, there wasn't as much haze on the window I was looking out of. Life didn't seem team so bad. And, you know, when you're 15 and you're 5'4" and you look like you're 12, it's hard to get booze every day, you know? But so, like, I found myself really quickly, like, just coming home from school, you know, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, like, getting my parents' liquor cabinet and, you know, going to places that I could where I knew I'd be able to get drunk. And, there's a pretty quick decline where you can start to see. And, you know, just long story short, I barely made out of high school. I had to have a 2.0 to graduate. And I remember, like, my junior year of high school, I was somewhere in the ones, and they pulled me in, and they were like, look, you're not going to make it out of here. You got to do this and this and this. So I'm taking, like, after-school classes because I keep failing the regular classes. I'm taking summer school classes because I keep failing the after-school classes, you know. And but I barely made it. I was, like, a 2.1 or something I was able to get out by. And, you know, just alcoholism progressed really quickly for me, you know, because like I said, I got the luxury of alcohol when I was 15, and like 2.5 years later, when I was 18, you know, I'd become like the daily drinker, I'd become the morning drinker, I'd become the everything drinker, I'd become the 20-pack-a-day drinker, I'd become the bottle-a-day drinker, I'd become everything, you know, and so I picked up this arrest shortly after I turned 18, and, you know, nothing special about it, except for the fact that that was at the point I got introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous. And what happened, the story with it is, I had to go to this drug and alcohol counselor, and before, like, my probation would get set. And so, I remember I walked in there, and I don't know a whole lot of what the guy asked me, but I know he did ask me, he said, how many drinks do you usually, like, when you go out to drink, what do you usually drink? And I remember I kind of looked at him, because it was almost like I didn't get the question, you know what I mean? Because I didn't know a whole lot that some people just have a few drinks, or, like, I knew I didn't, you know? I didn't know how to answer the question. Truthfully, I just kind of looked at him, and, like, just the words that fell out of my mouth were, well, 12 or 13 drinks a night, you know? And then, but it was one of those things where, like, as soon as the words fell out of my mouth, I was like, damn it, you know, that was not the right thing to say, you know? Because, like, he just kind of looked at me and started writing something down, you know, the little notebook he had or whatever, and I was just like, you know? So, but after that, he was like, okay, well, you need to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And, like, the first thing that I thought of, like, the first thing that came into my mind was, I'm 18 years old, I have a misdemeanor charge, you know, I've only been drinking for, like, 2.5 years. Alcoholic people have, you know, foreclosed homes and ruined marriages and, you know, all the bad, live under a bridge, you know, raggedy clothes, don't shower, whatever, you know, increase the list ad infinitum, you know, but I wasn't it, you know, whatever it was, I wasn't it. And that was, like, other than when I had moved to Florida, like, that was the next deepest resentment I've ever had in my life. It's just based off of, like, a 10-minute conversation, this guy had made this judgment about me that I'm a problem drinker, you know, and he didn't have any idea who I was. And so I had 6 months to go to 10 meetings, and, you know, not like 10 meetings a week or 10 meetings a month, but just 10 meetings over the course of 6 months. So being a responsible alcoholic, I waited till the last week of this 6-month block to go to all 10 meetings at once. I got my paper signed. I didn't talk to anybody here. I didn't let anyone talk to me. I went to a place where they weren't real big on talking to new people. It was okay with me, you know, because I just had to get a paper signed and go back out. And, you know, the rest of the story is just kind of fill in the blank, you know. I'm sure there's a lot of people in here that had a lot of similar experiences. But, you know, like I said, alcoholism progressed really quick for me. And, you know, within a year after that, I had found myself with, you know, jitters and, you know, being sick if I wasn't drinking, you know. And just like when I'd wake up in the morning, you know, my kidneys would hurt. Whatever's right here, like, would hurt. But it was just here. And, you know, it's like I would sit up in the morning and, you know, like, it felt like my heart had trouble starting to get going. And, like, you know, my skin was kind of yellow and I stuttered a lot for no reason. And, you know, this was just like a year after that. And, you know, just the, like, the, one of the guys I lived with drank with me all the time. And I remember, like, he would come home some days and just look at me immediately in the middle of the afternoon and be like, are you drunk again, you know? And, like, the thing was, this person that I drank with all the time, I just drank with an intensity that bothered him, you know? And this guy that I drank with all the time. So I knew, like, it was very obvious to me that I drank different than the people that were around me. And not that it was, like, a big thought, and not that it was, like, a good sell or anything like that, but there was this real small, like, if you could, like, cut one of your hairs in half, this little tiny thought that ran through my head lightning quick, lightning quick, this thought ran through my head, and that was, do they send people to Alcoholics Anonymous or an alcoholic? You know, like I said, it wasn't a profound thought, it wasn't anything life-changing, but the thought ran through there, you know. And but immediately that was pushed aside, and I said, well, the place I live is the problem, the people I'm with are the problem, I got to get out of here. So I tried to go home to Mommy and Daddy. They'd moved up to the state of New York, and so I'd gone up there, and, you know, long story short, I'm alcoholic. You know, I don't do things very well. I'd gone up there, the same stuff had happened, found myself back down here, and just real quick, I'm going to talk about my last drunk, and then I'm going to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous for a little bit. I'd gotten thrown out of up there, and I'm back down here, and, you know, like I said, I'm just, you know, eating and, like, bathing and just, like, living a normal life. I had taken the back seat to, like, get the next drink, you know. Each day I'd go to the cash and carry liquor store, I'd get a bottle of Old Crow whiskey for $8.99. That was the most important part of my day, you know. Eating, showering, whatever else, all that stuff is secondary. You know, as long as I can get something to get me off, you know, out of bed, something to get me going in the morning, and just get me through the day. Because the truth is, my problem has very little to do with the amount of alcohol I consume. My problem absolutely is when I stop drinking. You know, my problem absolutely is I hate being sober. I'm restless, irritable, and discontent. And when I don't have any alcohol in my body, life is unbearable. So, the most important thing I can do in life is get to drink, you know? But the problem started to occur where, like in the morning, I would wake up and just in like the instant before my eyes even opened up, I knew that it was going to be a hard day. You know, I knew it was going to be hard, and I knew that I thought the day would be different. You know, today I can drink just like another person. You know, today I can maybe just have a couple drinks, get me through the day, and I'll be okay. But you know, the other problem is I have this phenomenon of craving that usually when I put a drink in my body, I don't really know what's going to happen, but I'm going to drink a lot more until I'm physically not able to drink anymore. And so, I'd gone up to, like, February of 2007, I'd gone up to Buffalo to see my parents, and gotten up there on a Friday. I was just going to be there for the weekend, and I hadn't drank all day this Friday, right? And that was a big move for me, you know? I the whole day, I hadn't drank. I didn't even want to. I mean, to be honest with you right now, I didn't even want to drink that day. And I left my house late that night to go meet up with some friends, and my mom met me at the door on the way out with tears in her eyes. She said, Ryan, I don't care if it's you tonight, just don't drink. Just please, while you're up here, I just want to enjoy the weekend, please don't drink. So I left, and I used to work at a restaurant, so I go into this restaurant. The first thing that happened, the manager met me at the door. He said, hey man, first drink's on me. Sat down at the bar, I ordered 4 Long Island iced teas, drank those down, went to a bar across the street. The last thing I remember about the night is they got 10 shots lined up in front of me, and I'm booming them all down one after the other, and then I was out. And then, you know, I had my dad's car that night, and I don't know what happened. You know, I had a lot of blackouts. There's a lot of things I don't really recall. But I just remember the next morning, it was like 7:30, I pulled up in their driveway, and I got out of the car, and they kind of met me at the door because they knew I wasn't there. And, you know, I don't remember any of this either. My mom actually told me this story on my first sober anniversary. But they opened the door, and I fell inside, and they picked me up, and my mom just looked at me and said, I can't wait for you to get out of my house. I just can't wait for you to go back down to Florida and just get out of here. And they sent me upstairs to go sleep off, and then, you know, but I woke up later that afternoon, and there was something that was different, you know? And I don't know what it was that was different, but something that was different. And I can tell you what I think that it was, is that probably like a month previous to that, I just wanted to die, you know, because I couldn't stop drinking and I couldn't not drink. And so I figured that, you know, if this were all over, then I wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. And I said a prayer one night where, for the first time in my life, you know, I said this prayer of either God change something in my life or kill me. And I know I woke up the next morning with a hatred towards the world that I don't know how to describe. And that was about a month before this. So when I woke up that day, that afternoon in Buffalo, I assume what was different was that prayer. And there something different was just that, like, I just couldn't stand it anymore, you know? And I didn't know what the solution was. And I'd gone downstairs, and my parents said, they sat down and they said, why do you keep doing all this stuff, you know? And for the first time in years, just like honest words came out of my mouth. I said, I don't know, but I just can't stop drinking. you know? And I couldn't be met at any other level other than that. And, you know, so long story short, my dad's boss's wife is in the program. He told me to call her. After a little bit, I gave her a call, you know, asked her to take me here. Because I remembered, you know, that I wanted to give AA a shot. Because I remembered what was here. Because the deal is, if you come here, no matter what the circumstances are, even if you don't want to be here, if you're alcoholic, we will follow you. We will stay with you wherever you go. Not physically, not creepy, not psycho stalker, but we will follow you. We will forever be in your head. If you're here for any reason and you don't feel like you need to be here, you really don't have to worry unless you're alcoholic. If you're not alcoholic, it doesn't matter why you're here. You can go home and do whatever you want to do for the rest of your life. But if you're alcoholic and you're here, we will follow you. And so when, like, the time came where I knew that just nothing else was going to happen in my life, I knew I just thought I'd give this thing a shot. And I didn't think I was alcoholic, to be honest with you. I thought I was crazy. Mental illness runs in my family. I thought I needed to be locked up somewhere. But so I went to this meeting, and the lady gave me a book. And I don't remember too much of what was talked about at the meeting, but what was important to me is after the meeting, we sat in her car, and this is a lady that had known me for years. Years she had known me. And she sat me down in her car, and she just talked to me about alcoholism, you know, plain and simple. She didn't tell me I was a loser. She didn't tell me, you know, I'm a bum or I drink too much or anything like that. She was talking about alcoholism. She met me on the level I was at. She wasn't better than me. She wasn't worse than me. She met me right where I was. And she just talking about alcoholism. And you know, our book talks about that, you know, when we talk to someone that has a solution, they can win our confidence. And, you know, I don't know. I think the book says somewhere like within an hour. I think it's just a, you know, a term. But she, just in the hour that I was in that car with her, she gained my entire confidence. And that was something I hadn't given anybody in years. And, but she challenged me. She gave me a book she bought for me, and she said, just go home and read this book. Just go read a little bit of it, and if you can find that you can relate with what's in here, then this is probably where you belong. And so I had gone home, and I'd read a little bit out of Bill's story, and I didn't even get, like, all the way through it, you know, and before I knew what, this is where I needed to be. And not because I had a lot of money or played the stocks or anything like that, but just, like, I could relate to not only the way that he drank, but most important was, like, the way that he felt while he was drinking or, you know, afterward or anything like that. I knew what the remorse felt like. I knew what the morning after felt like. I knew what it was like to not want to drink and still not be able to stop drinking. I knew what that stuff felt like. And, you know, so someone had introduced me to this group shortly after that. And, like, what I found here was, like I said, where I lived at before, they weren't real big on the steps. You know, weren't real big on sponsorship. Not real big on, you know, when someone new comes in, welcoming that person. And I had come here, and I had a different experience. And, you know, I'd gotten a sponsor and started taking me through the steps. And I kind of don't have a lot of time, but, you know, what I quickly learned was, you know, I feel like what makes me alcoholic has very little to do with alcoholism itself. You know, what makes me alcoholic is the fact that I have this phenomenon of craving, and I have this peculiar mental twist that even when I'm sober, I'm still going to think back on all the crap that's happened and say, today will be different. You know, today I can drink like normal people. That's kind of what makes me alcoholic. You know, there's a part in chapter 4 which says, if you find you have little control over your drinking, you're probably one of us, you know? But I feel like my alcoholism is kind of the stuff that just happens up here, you know, on a daily basis. The kind of stuff that says, you're different from these people. The kind of stuff that says, you don't need to pick up those chairs. You don't need to pick up the phone when this guy's calling you. You don't really need to do this stuff anymore. You know what? Actually, you don't need to go to those meetings anymore. You know, you're too good for that kind of stuff. That's kind of like what my alcoholism is like today. You know, it's not so much like you need to go get drunk anymore, as much it is just like, this stuff isn't really that important, you know, and then I'll go get drunk. You know, that's kind of like what my alcoholism is like today. And, you know, when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous up until this point, I thought, I mean, I'd never believed in any kind of a God of any kind. And not that, I'm not a religious person, you know, but I'd found that, like, all that was required for me was to be open to the idea of a power greater than myself, and then that would unlock everything else for me. And, like, the basic idea I had was that I knew that the planets moved around the sun, and I had nothing to do with that. And that was my power greater than myself, you know? Nothing special, nothing and unique. That was it. That was all I could come up with, you know? And, like, from there, you know, I've come to understand, like, some kind of another higher power. I don't even really know what to tell you what it's like today, but, you know, it's something I understand. And it's got a lot of love and has a lot to do with Alcoholics Anonymous and the people in here. Because the truth is, like, the people in here and, like, the, you know, the guys I talk to throughout the day are, like, the people that showed all this stuff to me, you know? Because before I come to Alcoholics Anonymous, I'd never been sober for longer than a couple of weeks, you know? But all of a sudden, here I am, and I pick up a 30-day chip. I'm just like, wow, you know, something's kind of working here. You know, there's some, there must be something happening here that's working better than what I've been trying. And, you know, so with my sponsor, you know, we did a fourth and fifth step, you know, and then he had me, after, you know, we talked on the inventory, he had me sit for an hour and, you know, go over the last five proposals, and, you know, we met up after that. And really, you know, kind of my analogy for it is like, you know, if I'm standing, you know, right here in front of this podium, and my God is in the back of the room, there's a lot of stuff in the way of me and that God, like, you know, chairs and people and stuff like that. So, like, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, those kind of stuff, they sweep the debris out of the way between me, you know, and the power that I understand is greater than myself. So that way there's an open channel, you know, between myself and that power. And, you know, through the process of, like, restitution and making things right, you know, I get to go to that higher power and, you know, try and just be a little bit better of a person today. You know, truth, I'm still a jackass. I do a lot of things wrong each day. But I'm a little bit better than I was a few years ago, you know? And really, you know, just like lately kind of where I've been at is just trying to do the stuff in AA that people did for me when I got here. Because, like, I mean, I'm the kind of person, I just kind of, like, vacillate back and forth of, like, doing stuff here and chilling out for a little while, you know? So where I've been at lately is just been trying to do the stuff that the people did for me when I got here. Because I feel like, you know, they, whatever they did before I got here, they had an open room for me. You know, they had coffee for me, they let me bum cigarettes from them, whatever it was. There was an open haven for me to come to when I needed it. And so I feel like it's a little bit of my responsibility to make the same thing available for other people, you know? Otherwise, I'm just taking up the seat here. And so, you know, that's kind of what I try and do today. Some things have been really cool, like, through the amends process. This is probably, like, my favorite thing to talk about. It's cool stuff that's happened through amends. And, but I mean, like, I've had the chance at, like, getting an education. You know, that was, like, an amends I owed to someone. They told me to, because I'd been at this community college for, like, 6 years and had kind of failed out of it. And they told me if I wanted to make an amends to them, I needed to go finish that and pursue an education and make something out of myself. So, like, just from trying to stay sober and do stuff in AA, now I got the chance of getting an education. I've had the chance of making things right with my parents. I've had the chance of making things right with people that, things I've done to them under normal circumstances, I wouldn't be able to have a relationship with them. And, you know, they still talk to me today. And but with that, I'm going to kind of wrap up at the Sullivan, get up here and talk to you guys a little bit. But I thank Bill for asking me to speak. I thank all you guys for being here on Thanksgiving with us. And that's it.